Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erechin Daf Chof Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a Marth Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We start today's shiur at the very top line of Daf Chof Tes. Before going on with the Gemara itself, let us glance at the outside margin, where you will notice a nosei, a topic heading, in our Shas Ozer, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings. It's the Gemara that appears on your screen. We feature topic headings and structural notes from time to time when needed. In this case, under our topic heading, the nosei, we have written Dinom Shel Hacharamim, the status that a chirim dedication has, an item dedicated as a chirim offering, Aleph, Bebeis Habaylim, before it has been given to the Kohen, which is the ultimate destination of a chirim offering, Beis La'achar Nisinosam LaKohen, after it has been given to the Kohen. The Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source, as you can plainly see, it appears in a frame, as do all Tanaic sources in Gemara markings. Chirmei Kohanim Ein Lahem Pidyoin V'nois Nin LaKohen. Chirmei Kohanim, those are chirim dedications that are ultimately end up in the possession of a Kohen, have no redemption, and they are given to a Kohen. Charamim calls man shehein beveis bailim hare hein kehegdish l'chol devrayim. A chirim, an item donated or dedicated as a chirim dedication, has the status of something holy regarding all matters, which would mean that there would be a prohibition of using it for one's personal benefit after he dedicated it as a chirim offering. Shenemar kol chirim b'Yisrael kodesh kodoshim hu l'Hashem. The pasuk indicates that a chirim offering is like kodesh kodoshim, is like a holy item. Noslan l'kohen, once it's given to the kohen, harei hein l'chol divrehen kechulin. The chirim item given to the kohen as a chirim dedication takes on the status of any common item that a Kohen owns. It's considered his own money, it's his own possession. So it previously had a status of holiness, that's before it was given to the Kohen. After it was given to the Kohen, that very same item takes on the identity of something common. Shenemar kol chirim b'Yisrael l'cho yiyeh. It is given to you, to the Kohen. And it is to be unto the Kohen like any other property that he happens to own. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Stam Charamim Leberek Habayis. We saw a Machlokes Tanoim in our Mishnah concerning the status of a Cherem that was stated in an unqualified fashion, a Stam Cherem. According to the Rabbonon, Stam Charamim, unqualified Cherem dedications go to the Kohanim. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, they go to the Temple Repair Fund. The Gemara now analyzes both of these opinions, and before we go further, we glance at the outside margin under our Nosei heading. We feature Ma Dorshim Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira v'Chachomim Mehamakoros Shel Hasheni. What does each one do with the other one's sources? If before going further you happen to glance in the Mishnah that we saw at the bottom of Chof Ches Amud Beis, you will notice that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira cited a pasuk for his position, Kol Cherem Kodesh Kodeshim Hu LaShem, indicating that a Cherem is destined for Berek HaBayis, and the Chachamim cited that Stam Cherem Gon Kohanim based on the pasuk Kisteya Cherem L'Kohen Yeh Achuzaso. What was interesting to note in the Mishnah is that the Chachamim dealt not only with a pasuk for the source of their own opinion, but they also explained what Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's pasuk is coming to teach. Now we turn to our Gemara, Bishlamo Rabbanan, as far as the opinion of the Rabbanan that hold Stam Charamim go to the Kohanim, Kidekom Mefarshita Mayu, V'taymo de Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Well, it's in accordance to the way they offered an explanation, a source for their own opinion, and they also explained away what the Pasuk of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra would be teaching. In other words, they explained it for some teaching other than that which Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra said. Ela Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra that said, Stam haromim go lebedek habayis. Hai kistei hacherim my ovid lei. What does he do with the Pasuk that the Rabbonon cited for their position? And that was the Pasuk that stated, Kistei hacherim lakayin tie achuzoso. So the Gemara answers, Miboya lei, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra will use the Pasuk of Kistei hacherim lichedesanya for that which is taught in the following source. Kistei hacherim lakayin tie achuzoso ma talmud lomar. What does this Pasuk teach us? So it answers, Minayin lakayin shehikdish stei charmoi. From where do we know that a Kohen who was makdish, who sanctified a field he received as a chirim dedication, someone had dedicated their field as a chirim, and a kohen received it, the kohen now turns around and is makdish it. Shelo yoimar, such a kohen should not say, hoyol v'yotze l'kohanim, since chirim dedications go to kohanim, v'arei tachas yodi, and it's, up till now it was mine, Tehei Sheli. Well, it shall stay with me. Vidin hu. And logic would even tell us. B'shel achirim ani zoche. If some outsider makes a chirim dedication of a field, I would get it. I would get someone else's. B'shel atzmi lo kol shekein. So certainly that which it was already in my possession that I happened to dedicate as a chirim, I should keep it. Talmud lomar, kistei achirim ukuyin tia achuzaso. This is the pasuk for which that really the focus of our attention was on. We were asking originally, what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra do with this pasuk? So the Brisa goes on to explain, V'chi ma lo madnu mistei cherem, what am I to learn from a stei cherem in reading this pasuk? The pasuk says, like a stei cherem, so too shall be his achuza. So that stei cherem is featured in this pasuk as a source of information for something. So we're asking, what is stei hacherem coming to teach? Me'ato hare ze bo l'lameid. Well, from the simple reading, it seemed that kistei hacherem in the pasuk was coming to teach about something. V'nimtza l'lameid, but it now happens to be the item, the subject about which something is learned. As follows, Makish stei charmoi l'stei achuza shel Yisrael. In this pasuk, there is a comparison between a cherem, a stei cherem, a cherem dedicated field, and a stei achuza, an inheritance field of Yisrael. Ma stei achuza shel Yisrael, yotze mitachas yodoi u'mischalekes l'kohanim, just like a stei achuza that someone dedicated, someone sanctified his stei achuza, what happens? It leaves, it's if it's not redeemed, so it's divided amongst all the kohanim. If a Yisrael had made a dedication of his inheritance field, and let us say one of the kohanim happened to have redeemed that field from the Beis HaMikdash, when the Yovel comes, that field is that was held by one of the Kohanim till now, since he redeemed it from Hekdesh, it leaves his possession and is distributed amongst all the Kohanim in the service group that are serving at the time Yovel enters. So just like we know that a stei achuza of Yisrael, yotze mitachas yodo, from the possession of a Kohen that had redeemed it, and it's distributed amongst the Kohanim that are serving in that Mishmar. Afs de Charmoi, so to a Chirem dedication that a Kohen makes, once again, a field that a kohen happened to receive as a cherem, someone else's cherem dedication, if the kohen turned around and was makdish that, that cherem field is divided amongst the kohanim that are serving in that week's service group. So, just to review the main point, we were asking, what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra do with the pasuk of Kistei HaCherem, which the Rabbanon used to indicate that Stam Haromim go to Kohanim? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra uses this pasuk to teach that a Kohen who was Machrim, a field that he received through a Cherem dedication, the Kohen does not hold on to that field. The Idach, the Rabbanon, where do they learn that principle from? That a Kohen who makes a Cherem dedication of a field that he received through Haromim, that he does not hold on to that field, but rather it's distributed amongst the other Kohanim. Mei Cherem HaCherem. They learn that halacha from the hay in that word. Kistei, the Pasuk says, Kistei HaCherem, the hay. The Idach Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Cherem HaCherem lo mashmalei. They don't see any significance in the hay. Whereas the Rabbanan do see significance in the hay. That enables them to darshan from this pasuk their own position, that Stam Haromim go to Kohanim. And they also learn this halacha of a Kohen that made a Cherem donation of a field, he does not continue holding on to it. And that's learned from the hay. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, on the other hand, doesn't have the hay available for that. Therefore, he needs the whole pasuk for this point, and it doesn't therefore come to teach what the Rabbanan said, that Stam Haromim are l'kohanim. Now, for Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, the chal al kodshei kodshim val kodshim kalim minole, where does Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra learn that point from? Let us point out that the Chachamim had taken Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra's pasuk of Kol Cherem Kodesh Kodeshim Lashem and used it for this teaching of Shechal Al Kodshei Kodshim Val Kodshim Kalim, that a Cherem dedication can take effect or create obligation if one is Machrim, animal set aside for sacrifices. So the question now is turned to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Where does he learn that point from? Answer, Sovar Lei K'Rebbe Yishmael. He learns it from the source that Rabbi Yishmael, who is featured in the upcoming Mishnah, where he learns that point from. So there's another source for this point of Cherim's being Chal on Kodshei Kodshim and Kodshim Kalim. Omar Rav, Halocha K'Rebbe Yehuda ben Becerra. Rav is telling us then that Stam Haromim, unqualified Cherem dedications, will go to the temple repair fund. In the next few lines, the Gemara debates or tosses around this issue that Rav seems to be paskening like a Shitas Yochid, a singular opinion against a majority opinion. And that's what arouses the Gemara's curiosity. Under our No Say topic heading in the outside margin, we have written Psikas Rav, Geruta Becerra, featuring Rav's ruling, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra's position, Shestam Haromim Leberek Abayas, unqualified Cherem dedications go to the temple repair fund, as opposed to going to as a gift to Kohanim. The Gemara now asks, V'Rav Shavik Rabbanan V'Ovik Krebuta Ben Becerra, would Rav abandon, would leave aside the opinion of the majority and follow that of the minority, namely Krebuta Ben Becerra? The Gemara answers, Braisa Ibchotanya. In a Tanaic source, we have them switched around. In other words, when Rav rules like Rebbe Yehuda ben Becerra, it's Rebbe Yehuda ben Becerra in a reversed fashion, namely that Stam Haromim would be Lekohanim. The Gemara asks, but still, Shavik Masnisin Vavik Kebraisa, would Rav pass up on following the Mishnah's presentation and follow that which is found in a Braisa, Braisa being of a weaker opinion? Why would Rav follow, why would he abandon the Mishnah in favor of a Braisa? Answer, Rav Masnisin Nami Ibcha Toni. Rav has the Mishnah also switched around. In other words, the Mishnah is switched around to conform to the Brisa. So Rav, in fact, Rav has a version of the Mishnah that's switched around to match the Brisa, which has the Rabbonin saying that Stam Haramim are Lebedek Abayis, and Rabbi Yehuda saying that they go like the Kohanim. So that Rav is paskening in that reversed fashion, namely he's paskening that Stam Haramim go Lebedek Abayis because that's what he has as the Rabbonin opinion. The Gemara asks, "My choses to afchis masnisin mekam ebraisa." What is it that you see fit to switch around the Mishnah in favor of the Brisa? Napich Brisa mekami masnisin. Why not switch around the Brisa to conform to the Mishnah? The Gemara answers, "Rav gamrei gomir." Rav was taught by his teachers that the Mishnah is unreliable. In other words, we have our Mishnah saying, according to the Chachomim, that Stam Haramim is Lekehanim. That is unreliable. Ihachi, if this be the case, namely that Rav has the Chachomim saying that Stam Haramim are Levitic Abayis, and not the Rabbonin saying Stam Haramim are Lekohanim. So, Ihochi Kerabuta ben Beseira. Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with what we had before. Why did Rav ever say that Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? If in fact Rav is paskening that Stam Haramim are Lebedek Abayis because that's the Shita of the Chachomim, what does Rav mean to say Halacha Kerabuta ben Beseira when at this point everything has been switched around? The Gemara goes on to say, "Kerabonon miboyalei." Rav should have said, "Halacha is like the Rabbonon," bearing in mind that Rav's version of the Rabbonon says that Stam Haramim are Lebedek Abayis. The Gemara answers, "Hochi komar." Thusly, Rav is telling us, "Lamai da afchisu v'tanisu." According to the way you have things switched around, halacha kerubim v'beserah. Then, on your terms, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, because on your terms, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is the one that's saying Stam Haramim are Lebedek Abayis. According to me, says Rav, that particular halacha really was taught by the Chachamim, the majority opinion. Hence, Rav is not following a minority opinion. Rav is following the Chachamim. It's just that, as far as in comparison to our Mishnah, which Rav was taught is unreliable, so the halacha comes out like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, as is taught in our Mishnah. But let's go over that final point again. The bottom line is to realize that Rav is paskening that Stam Haramim are Lebedek Abayis. How does Rav come to that conclusion? Well, Rav personally comes to that conclusion because that's his version of the Rabbanan. But according to our version of things, that would be Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's position. The Gemara continues, "Hahu gavro de'achraminhu lenichse b'pumbedisa." There was a person that was machrim his property in Pumbedisa. Also lekamei de'Rav Yehuda. Before going further, we have a nosei mivneh heading on the outside margin, where a topic heading and structural note combined into one. We see a house marking featured. Machlokes Rav Yehuda ve'ula eich lifsok b'mi shemachrim bizman hazeh. We will see a controversy between Rav Yehuda and a few lines later Ula concerning one who nowadays, when there is no Beis Hamikdash, one who makes a chirim dedication. So we have a story here of a person who was machrim his property in Pumbedisa, a major city in Bovel. Also lekamei Rav Yehuda. The case came to Rav Yehuda, Amalei. So Rav Yehuda told this man who dedicated his properties, he said, Shkoil arba zuzi, take four zuz. Zuz is a type of coin. Take four zuz, the ochil olayu, and redeem your property onto these four zuz. Vishadinu, and then cast the four zuz that now have absorbed the sanctity after your redemption of your property onto these coins, throw them into the river. Alma Kosovar, you see from this that Rav Yehuda holds, Stam Charomim Lebere Kabayis, that unqualified Chirim dedications go to the Temple Repair Fund. For if the Stam Chirim were to go to the Kohen, we know that Chirim Kohanim have no redemption, something that we've learned earlier. Keman, this teaching that we see you can redeem a lot of value onto four coins, onto four zuz, which is a much smaller amount. It's an, we'll call it a non-equitable type of redemption. Based on whom is this? Kishmuel. This would follow Shmuel's teaching. That if someone had hektish, sanctified items worth a mona, worth $100, and he was makd and he was mechala. Mechala means he was poted onto a shavah prut, onto a small coin, a pruta coin, mechulal. It would take hold. That redemption would be considered a redemption. So is that what Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is basing himself on Shmuel's teaching? Amar, the Amar Shmuel, shechilalo. Shmuel said, if it happened, post facto, b'dieved, if he happened to take something of great value and dedicated on something much less in value. However, lechatchilo mi omar, to offer that as advice straight out, as initial advice, is that what Shmuel would say? No. Shmuel only spoke about it post facto. But initially, you should have an equitable type redemption. In other words, corresponding to the value of the item should thusly be the redemption amount of money. So then why is it Rabbi Yehuda said to a person who dedicated all of his properties as a cherem, just dedicated onto, transferred or poted, redeem it on four zuz, which is much less in value? The Gemara answers, Hani Mili, this idea that we say shechilulo, meaning post facto or only b'dieved, such an inequitable, unbalanced pidyon would be, that we say it's a shechilo, meaning something b'dieved, post facto. That's bizman shebeisim mishkayim. That's when the basim is around, the ikub seda, where there's a loss to the basim. In other words, if hektish was in possession of something worth a lot of money, and you come along and offer very little for it in exchange in order to redeem the item, so that would represent a loss to the basim. Basim could have fetched a lot more money. So then we say that post facto, if you did this unequal type redemption, it will take hold. But nowadays, where there's no Beis HaMikdash, we can accept such a discrepancy in redemption even at the outset. If such a thing is acceptable even at the outset, even l'chadchila, because we're talking about a nowadays consideration where there is no Beis HaMikdash, afilu prutanami, why even a pruta, which is much less than four zuz that Rabbi Yehuda suggested, why was Rabbi Yehuda speaking about four zuz as the amount? Even a pruta would be enough. So the Gemara answers, persume milsa, by having this, having the nechosim that were dedicated as a cherim, redeemed onto four zuz, that would create more noise, it would create more public awareness. Hence, four zuz were chosen as the amount. And we're interested in creating this awareness. People should realize what you do, what's the proper procedure to follow if someone were to machrim something bizman hazeh. So by having the redemption take place onto four zuz, that will create more public awareness, public noise over the topic, and people will become aware of what is to be done. Omar Ula, I havoi hasam, if I had been there, havi hivna ku hu lekohanim, I would have given all those nechosim to kohanim. Alma kosovar Ula, we conclude from here that Ula's position is stam charamim lekohanim. Now, we didn't note before, but you can see with the markings how we've double underlined these two opinions, Stam Charam Berek Abayis, which is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and Ula's opinion, saying that Stam Charamim go to the Kohanim. Unqualified Cherim dedications are given as a gift to the Kohanim. Meisvei, we have a Tanaic source, and you'll notice the next few lines in a frame. Triangles appear here, indicating a series, and on the outside margin, the triangles are Dvorim, She'enon, Noihagin, Elobizman, Shayov, Noig. Things that are in practice only when the Yovel is in practice. Toward the end of the source, there's a dashed underline phrase, and it said, Ein Stei Charomin, Noigim, Elobizman, Shayovel, Noig. So the whole issue of fields of properties that were dedicated as a cherem dedication doesn't apply bisman hazeh. This would represent a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda and on Ula. Both of them spoke about the fellow in Pumbedisa having made a cherem dedication, and they both took that dedication seriously, and the whole issue was how to deal with it. But according to this source, this Tanaic source, the cherem wouldn't even take hold. And that's why this source is brought in really as a kasha on both Ula and Rabbi Yehuda. So the source begins. Also, just take note of the fact we have a long question that takes in the whole source plus another line or two of Gemara. I'm referring specifically to the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. Meisvei. Ein Eved Ivri Noheg Elo Bizman Sheyovel Noheg. Eved Ivri are the laws concerning a Jew sold into slavery. Those halachas are binding only when the Yovel is in practice. Shenemar Ad Shnas Hayovel Yavod Imoch. This is a reference to an Eved Ivri whose ear was bored, indicating his desire to stay with the owner permanently, so we say he stays with the owner until the Yovel year. V'ein stay achuza neheges elo bizman sheyovel noeg. The halachas of inheritance fields, as we've learned extensively up till now, including the halacha of redeeming it at a Torah rate, if someone dedicated a stay achuza to the base of Midrash, so it's redeemed according to a Torah rate, and all of the other halachas that we've seen detailed with regards to stay achuza, they're all binding only when the yovel is in practice. And as we've noted in previous shiurim, the yovel was in practice during the time of the first base of Midrash up to the time that the northern tribes were exiled. So up to that point, meaning up to the latter part of the first base of Midrash, yovel was in practice. After that, once the exile started, as was the case with the northern tribes, that's when the Yovel ceased to be in practice. So the source says, Ein stei achuza neheges elo bizman sheyovel noheg. Shenemar v'yitzav yovel v'shov lachuz also. This whole concept of inheritance fields being returned to owners and all the other details that we mentioned apply only when the Yovel applies. Ein bote orechoma nohagin elo bizman sheyovel noheg. The laws regarding houses sold in walled cities, that set of halachas also applies only when the yovel is in practice. Shenemar, lo yetze b'yovel. Rav Shimon Yochai Omer, ein stei charomin noagin ela bizman sheyovel noheg. The whole concept, the whole practice of stei charomim, of a field being dedicated as a cherem, is in practice only when the yovel is noheg. And certainly not in the case of the not in the time period when Jews were exiled to Bavel, which was quite a bit later. Shinema voya soda b'tseisa b'yovel kodesh l'Hashem k'stei achirim. Rishim lozer omer ein gir toshav noheg elo bizman sheyovel noheg. The halachas regarding a gir toshav. This is an individual who is not Jewish, who lives in the land of Israel, who accepted upon himself not to serve idols, but he continues eating unkosher, which is quite alright. After all, he's not a convert to Judaism. Part of the halachas concerning Gir Toshav indicate or require the Jewish population to support him. The whole concept of Ger Toshav, though, according to this source, does not apply when Yovel does not apply. Omer of Bevai, my Taimo, regarding Ger Toshav, what's the source for that? Asya Toiv Toiv, a word comparison using the word Tov, reaches this conclusion. Ksiv Hocha, it says with regard to an Eved Ivri, Ki Toiv Loi Imoch. Uksiv Hosam, with regard to a Ger Toshav, it says, Betoiv Loi Loi Soinenu. And we already established by Eved Ivri that it's a halacha that applies only when the Yovel is in practice. When not, so there's no, the dinim of Eved Ivri do not apply. And we're comparing Eved Ivri to Ger Toshav. So just like Eved Ivri does not apply unless Yovel is Nohag, is binding, so too the dinim of Ger Toshav. Anyway, we come to this point in the Gemara raising a question. Above we saw Rabbi Huda and Ula recognizing the binding nature or the taking hold of a cherem done after the time that Yovel was still being practiced, namely even during the post Yovel era, according to Ula and Rabbi Huda, dinim of cherem stay haramim were in practice. The Gemara answers. Lo kashya. Notice this source represented a contrasting opinion that stay haram or not nohag when the yovel stops being practiced. So he says there's no problem, there's no controversy. Lo kashya. Habe makarkoi, habe metatali. The din of things not being nohag, chirem not being nohag, that's with regard to land. But metatali, when it comes to portables, so cherem is nohag. The Gemara asks, "V'amaisi b'madisa makarkoi nami havi." The story involving Pumbadisa was a land-based incident, and it involved cherem, even bisman hazeh, meaning after Yovel stopped being practiced. We see the story of Pumbadisa involving land, and it was in practice. The dinim of cherem were in practice. So the Gemara answers, "Mekarkoi de chutzalaretz kemetatali de eretz Yisrael domi." The land of areas outside of Israel have the same status as portables in the land of Israel. So just like you said that with regard to portables, the dinim of cherem are noeg even after the Yovel ceased being practiced, so to the land of the exile, of the diaspora, is considered having the same status as portables in Eretz Israel. And hence, the dinim of cherem do apply. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, the Mishnah, in the new Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Kosuv Echod Omer, regarding a Bechor, it says, Takdish, that you shall sanctify it. The Kosuv Echod Omer, Lo Yakdish, that you don't sanctify it. Iyav Shalomer Takdish, Sharek Var Nemar Lo Yakdish. You can't say you have to Makdish when another Pasuk says Lo Yakdish. Iyav Shalomer Lo Yakdish, Sharek Var Nemar Takdish. And you can't say the other way around either. Ha Ketzad. So how do we resolve this? What do we do with these two psukim that seem to be of an opposite nature with regard to the Bechor? Ha'ketzat, makedisho, ato hektish ilui. We spoke about this topic before. This hektish ilui was the value or the amount someone would pay to have the Bechor given to his meaning a Yisrael, who's not a non-Kohen, to his grandson or nephew that happened to be Kohanim. So that kind of dedication can be made. And by the way, we referred to this quite a bit earlier on this Amid discussing from where would Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira know that Cherem is Chal on Kochim. So here, and the more answered, he learns like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel knows from here that the concept of cherem applies to kochim, like we are saying now, and that's learned from the posuk that says takdish. Our Mishnah says, "Makdisho ato hekdish ilu di ato makdisho hekdish mizbeach." With regard to Bechor, you can make a dedication of the value, this toivas hano factor or value that we spoke about, but you're not makdish a Bechor to be considered another korban. It goes without saying that a Bechor, a firstborn male animal, is brought as its own sacrifice. It's brought to the Beis HaMikdash after being given to a Kohen. The Kohen brings it as a Bechor sacrifice. So that we're told here that you can't switch it into something else. V'Rabbonon, Al Takdish, the Rabbonon who learned earlier from the pasuk of Mikol Chirim Kodesh Kadoshim that you can machrim sacrifices, that which namely Rabbi Shmuel is learning from the pasuk here of Takdish. So the Gemara asks, Rabbonon Al Takdish Miboyalei, they learn something from Al Takdish, and momentarily we'll see Takdish Miboyalei, they use Takdish to teach me something else. So the Rabbonon who are in contrast with Rabbi Shmuel, the Rabbonon referred to is a reference to the Rabbonon in the previous Mishnah, they will learn something else from these psukim. Al takdish miboya le lelav, meaning if someone took a Bechor and tried to impose upon it another kind of sacrifice, he would be in violation of this negative command al takdish. And takdish miboya le lechidetanya, the Rabbanan will need Takdish for the following. Where do I know that a firstborn male animal born in someone's flock, there is a mitzvah to sanctify it as a Bechor? Shenemar Hazochar Takdish. For Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel's response that I'm not going to use takdish for this point that it's a mitzvah to makdish a bechor. He says, ilo makdish le. If let us say someone didn't make a formal sanctification of a bechor, lo kodosh, would it not be sanctified? Of course it would be. Kiddushos merechem havi. A bechor has its sanctity even without my involvement. It's an automatic sanctity that sets in upon birth. The cave of the chilo makdish lei kadosh, and since we know that even if I were not to makdish it, it would have sanctity. Lo tzorich lagdushei, there is no need for you to makdish it, and hence Rabbi Shmuel does not have this drush of takdish with regard to bechor, indicating some type of mitzvah to be makdish it. When even without my formal initiative, it would be kadosh anyway. That really concludes the eighth perek, and we continue to the top of Omid Beis, the beginning of the ninth perek of Maseches Erechin. Hamocher es sodehu, we're at the beginning of the perek, as we said, at the top of Chof Tes, Omid Beis. Hamocher sodehu b'shas hayovel, if a person sold his field when the yovel is in practice. And just a few minutes ago, we've spoke about that as being the time prior to the onset of the exile. So one who sells a field during the Yovel time, Eino Mutter Ligoil Pochos Mishtei Shanim, he cannot buy it back, cannot force a buyback from the purchaser within 2 years of the sale. Shenemar B'mispar Shnei Tvuoy Simocher Loch. Based on that pasuk, we learn that the buyer is entitled to hold on to the field that he purchased for a minimum of 2 years. If one of the years happened to be a field of a year where there was an agricultural malady, shidofon, yerokon, different types of agricultural ailments ruining the crops, or one of the years was a shmita year, eino Ole min haminyan, that doesn't count as one of the 2 years that a buyer is entitled to hold on to the purchased field. Neira ohovira, if the owner himself, he plowed it or left it he elected to leave it fallow. That's Hovira. He deliberately left it fallow. Well, Oile loy min haminyan, then it does count as one of these 2 years that he is entitled to hold on to it. The Rashi elaborates a bit on this. Eino Oile min haminyan, in reference to the Shidof Nirokun Shnas Shvius, it's not Oile min haminyan, Hashtei Shanim. It doesn't count toward the 2 years that a buyer is entitled to hold on to it. Daha Shnei Tvuos Ksiv. The pasuk says, two crops. Shtei Shonim Horu'im L'Tvua Tishe B'yad Lokeach. 2 years that are fit for crop production is what is the amount of time that it stays with the purchaser. But 2 years that are worthy of crop production. Avo Hoysa Shona Ru'uya L'Tvua. If, however, one of the years was fit to cultivate it, it wasn't afflicted by some type of agricultural malady, the Neira, Velozar, he plowed it and didn't plant it, Ohovira, or he left it, Shenicha Bura, he left it fallow, Shafilu Nir, Lo also didn't even bother plowing it, Iu Afsid Anafshe, this purchaser is causing his own loss, the Olulo Mivinyan Shtei Hashanim, and it counts toward the 2 years that he as a purchaser is entitled to hold on to it. Continuing in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Mochra loy lifnei Rosh Hashanah v'imaleo peres. Imagine a sale took place right before Rosh Hashanah when the field was full of a crop. Hare ze oichel mimeno shalosh tvuos b'shtei shanim. It'll come out under such circumstances that the purchaser will be able to benefit from three crops over 2 years, because what happens in such a case, he bought a field with crops in it, so those he immediately benefits from. Then, as we'll say, Rosh Hashanah sets in, because in the Mishnah's example is he bought it right before Rosh Hashanah, so then he then proceeded to plant and got a crop during that first full year. And he'll get an additional crop the next full year. So all told, he really got three crops. Three crops in 2 years. Hamocher sodeu b'shas hayove v'chulei. The Gemara points out something based on the language of the Mishnah and comes to a halachic conclusion. And before we go on in the Gemara, let's glance at our nosei topic heading in the outside margin, where we have written Isur al hamocher v'alokeach Liknois b'chazora sode shenimkar b'soch shenatayim. There is a prohibition on the seller and even on the buyer to reverse the deal or sell back the field within the first 2 years of the sale. So the point of this Gemara is to say that there is a sin element involved and not just a financial prohibition. Hamocher sode b'shas yovel. So the Gemara says, "Eino goel lo katan." It doesn't say "Eino goel." In the Mishnah, what does it say? Hello, "Eino mutar ligol." It's not even allowed to be redeemed. Alma kosava. From the language of Mishnah, we see isura nami ika. There is even an element of, a ritual violation, if you will. Isur. We use the term isur v'heter. That which is forbidden versus that which is allowed. Nothing to do with finances, but an Isur being a different realm of Jewish law, that there is even this Isur violation associated. Afilu Kakushi Zuzi Nami also would be even forbidden to take coins and jingle the coins in front of the seller or attempting to offer to entice him to sell it back. So even jingling of coins indicating a desire to sell back to original owner during those first 2 years would be prohibited. V'lo mibaya mocher dekoy ba'asei, it goes without saying that the original seller in his attempt to purchase it back is in violation of a positive command. Dechtiv v'misbar shnei tvus yimocher loch. The pasuk is saying that for a period of 2 years it must remain sold. But even the purchaser, if he plays along with this and sells the field back, within 2 years would be in violation of a positive command. Devoinon shanim tikneh veleka. And the pasuk, the way it's presented here, this is all based on psukim in Vayikra Perek Chav Hei. When you look at the respective psukim, the psukim tezvav and tezayin that we've recorded, we've presented on the inside margin, you'll see these terms appear. Veleka, you won't have shanim tikneh. Plural shanim is 2 years of acquisition. Hence, the pasuk is warning the lokeach, the purchaser, also to make sure that it stays in his possession for 2 years before it's sold back to the original owner. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin under the Nosei, Hamocher Sodeu Bishnas Hayovil Atzma. A person who sells a field, sells his inheritance field during the Yovel year itself. Machlokes Rav Ushmuel. We'll see a machlokes between these two outstanding Amoraim. L'Rav Mechura V'yotza. Rav says the sale takes hold. However, it immediately leaves the purchaser's domain. And we've added in parentheses, Halokech Ibe Mosav, the purchaser loses his money. After we have a fellow who purchased, he gave money for a field, he supposedly gets the field, but he loses it automatically. What about the money that he paid? The money he paid, it's his loss. The Shmuel, Eino Mechura, according to Shmuel, there's no transaction even at the beginning. It's not considered a transaction. And any money that he would have paid, he will get back. The purchaser will get back. So we have this machlokas Rav and Shmuel concerning the sale of a field during the Yovel year itself. Itmar hamocher sodeu bishnas hayovel atzma. Rav omar mechura v'yotza. According to Rav, the transaction is said to have taken place, and the field leaves the purchaser's possession and goes back to the owner, because Yovel is, of course, the year in which fields are restored to their original owners. The main point to be emphasized here is that, being that the sale took place, once the field is returned to the original owner, which is basically immediately, that's it. And the purchaser, the fellow who paid for the field that he now doesn't have, he loses his money. Ushmuel Omar Eino Mechura Kol Iker. There isn't a sale that even gets off the ground. And if you have someone that paid, he will get his money back. My time of the Shmuel. What is Shmuel's reasoning? Kal v'chomer. He uses Kal v'chomer logic. Uma Mechura Kvar Yotze Achshav. Mind you, fields that were sold already prior to the Yovel, they leave during the Yovel, they leave the reshus of the purchasers. She'eino mechura eino din shaloti mocher, something that had not been sold prior to the Yovel year, that are sold for the first time on the Yovel year, all the more so it shall be argued that it's a non-sale, it's shaloti mocher. And being that we're categorizing it as a non-sale, it's a sale that didn't get off the ground, so Shmuel is telling us that it's a non-sale, and the cash that was paid for nothing, and hence it goes back. As you can see with our markings, we now have a triangle, and under the Mivne heading in the outside margin, these represent Kushos al Rav. We'll be challenging Rav's approach. The Gemara asks, Ula Rav, Lo Amrinon Kavachomer Kiai Gavno? We just heard a piece of Kavachomer logic presented by Shmuel, the result of which was that there is no sale in the first place. Does Rav not hold from Kavachomer logic like this? V'ha Tanya, we'll show you a Tanaic source which presents this kind of Kavachomer, and which Rav obviously agrees with. The source, Yochol Yimkor Odom Ezbito Kishi Nara, could you entertain the idea of a man selling his daughter after she reaches the age of Narus? Narus is from 12 to 12 and a half. So during that time period, do you think a person could sell his daughter during Na'arus? So the Gemara, the Brisa answers, Amar Kavachomer. Uma mechura kvar yoitza achshav. Mind you, a person who had sold his daughter in the past, she will go out now as she reaches Na'arus, this age of 12. She'ena mechura unudun shaloti mocher, a girl that had not been sold, and for the first time she's being sold as a Na'ara, then all the more so, it's a non-sale. So we see that here in a Tanaic source, something that Rav will agree with, we apply Kal Vachomer reasoning like that. And if that be the case, so a sale of a field during the Yovel should take on the same characteristic and be called a non-sale. So why does Rav say that a sale during the Yovel year is a sale, even though it doesn't last, and the money paid is paid? It's a loss that the buyer has to absorb. So why the difference? Why in the case of the sale of a daughter at Na'arus, which is being parallel to the case of the sale of the field during the Yovel year, do we say in the case of the sale of one's daughter that it's a non-sale? Shouldn't Rav therefore say the same thing of the sale during the Yovel year? Answer, no, they're different. Hosam, in the case of the sale of a daughter, lo hodra mizdavna. After a person sells his daughter into servitude, that's it. When she leaves at Na'arus, there is no more sale opportunity. That's called a Yetziyah Gemurah, full-fledged departure. And based on that, we can make this Kal Vachomer statement, that namely, Achshav Sheina Mechura Inu Din Shaloti Mocher. Certainly not. Certainly there's no sale. Hocha, by the field, Hodra Mizdavna. In the case of a field, a person who had sold his field and gets it back when Yovel comes, so after Yovel he can continue selling the field. So there's lack of parallel between the two cases, so that the Kal Vachomer type logic might apply in the case of the sale of a daughter. However, it's not the same level of finality in the case of a field sale, and hence Rav will tell you that I don't accept the Kal Vachomer with regard to a case of a sale of a field. We're talking, of course, during the Yovel year. Meisvei, another challenge to Rav's opinion. Achar HaYovel Shanim Tikneh. These are words that are found in the psukim we had earlier. Malame Shemurchin Samuch Liovel. This teaches us that a sale can take place right before a Yovel. Muflog Mina Yovel Minayin, at a distance from Yovel. From where do we know? Talmud Lomer Lefi Roiv Hashanim Ulefi Ma'oit Hashanim. Ubishnas Hayovel Atzma Lo Yimkor. This is more related to our topic. Ve'im mochar eino mechura. If one attempts to sell a field during the Yovel, it doesn't take hold. No sale. And that's a kashan Rav. Omar loch Rav. Rav will respond, eino mechura lemispar shnei tvuos. The sale during the Yovel year will not be a sale where the purchaser will hold on to it for 2 years. Abo mechura hi. It is, however, a sale, v'yoytza. But it leaves the purchaser's possession immediately. We lead into another question. The E is the Vuni Mizdavna. If, as Rav says, that the sale does take hold, it does take place, Tekum Birshusei Ad Boser Yovel, let it remain in the possession of the purchaser until after the Yovel, and then let the purchaser benefit from it for 2 years, 2 years of crops, v'nehadra, and then return it. And then expected to sell it back. And according to this, it's not an instant resale of the field, or it is an instant return of the field. Milo Tanya, do we not have precedent for this type of reasoning? Ochlo Shona Achas Lifnei Yovel. Let us say a sale took place a year before the Yovel, so the purchaser had it for a year before the Yovel. Then the second year is a Yovel. Yovel is a non-agricultural year. You cannot cultivate the field. So Mashlimin Lo Shona Acheres Achar Yovel. The purchaser has a right to continue holding onto it 1 year after the Yovel. So why not say the same thing over here with regard to a field sold during the Yovel year? Why does Rav say that a field sold during the Yovel, the purchaser immediately loses it? And he, you know, he immediately loses possession of the field, and the money that he paid is a loss. The Gemara answers, Hossam, in the case cited in this Tanaic source, Nochis Lachila, he started cultivating and benefiting from the crops prior to the Yovel. Hocha, in the case of a field sold during the Yovel year, lo nochis lachila. He didn't start any cultivation and consumption of produce because it's the Yovel year and that's forbidden. So being that nothing ever got started, so there's no point of talking about a continuation afterwards, as opposed to the case the Brisa taught, where there was a starting of cultivation and benefit before, so once something started, so it can be continued. Before beginning the new Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin under the Nosei heading. Nosei, Nisayon, we have an attempt, L'taim, Shnei Psokim Shel Shmuel, to parallel two rulings of Shmuel, Im Shnei Halachas, with two laws, Be'echod Posak the Eino Mechura Umos Chozer. In one case, the ruling is that the sale is a non-sale and the money is returned. Ubesheni Posak the Hamekach Eino Chozer, that the sale takes hold and money is not returned. Shtei Halachos Heim, the two halachas are Mechiras Sode Bishnas Hayovel Atzma, the sale of a field during the Yovel year itself, and the second halacha is Mechiras Eved Knani La'akum, the sale of a heathen slave to an idol worshipper. So these are the two halachas. The question is, what we have to do in the Gemara is to attach these two situations, these two sales, with their respective legal outcome. In one case, we said the sale does take place, it sticks to the extent that the money paid is paid, even though it seems that the sale is then undone. And the second case, the sale is not a sale in the first place, and any money that was paid would be returned. Now let's see how this operates. Omar Rav Onan, Shamis Minei Demor Shmuel Tarti. I heard two points from Shmuel. Chado Hach. One was the case of sale of field during the Yovel itself. The Idoch. The second, Hamoicher Avdoi LaOyvei Kichavim. Another halacha that says one who sells his servant to an idol worshipper, or he sells the servant to the diaspora, sells him, in other words, he lives in Eretz Yisrael and sells him to someone outside of Eretz Yisrael, Yetzel Lecheres. In either one of those cases, the servant, the slave, goes free. Chado Hadri Zvini. In one of these two cases, Hadri Zvini, the money, the deal is undone, and the money is returned. V'chado lo Hadri Zvini. Another case, the transaction takes hold, and there's no money that is returned. V'lo yodano he mine. And Rav Onan says, I don't know which case parallels which ruling. Omar of Yosef, Nechsi Anan. So Rav Yosef says, let us on our own figure out which ruling matches which case. Midesanya bebraisa, from the fact that it teaches in the following source, Hamocher avdo b'chutz l'aretz This is one of the two cases that Rav Onan raised. The case of a person selling his slave to outside Eretz Israel. The slave goes free. Vitzorach gets shichur meraboy sheni. And he needs a document of freedom, of release from the rabo sheni, means the purchaser. Shma mino, we conclude from the language of this source, midakori le lasheni rabo, from the fact that the purchaser is called his owner, rabo, his owner, alma lo hadri zvini. So we see that this is not a case of a non-sale. So that if we know that one of the two rulings stated that the sale is considered a sale that took place, even though we see that the evid isn't going to remain in the possession of the purchaser, but it's that case, it's the case of the sale of the servant to outside of Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, that the sale is considered a sale, and money paid is paid, and there's not going to be any refunding. So that Shmuel's the halacha of Lo Hadri Zvini applies to this case. The Chikomar Shmuel Hocha Eino Mechura, and Shmuel's teaching of Eino Mechura, meaning that the sale is not a starter. Eino Mechura Umos Chozrin. Since it's a non-starter, the money will be refunded. And Shmuel said that halacha with regard to Hocha, the case of sale of fields B'yoyvel Atzmo. So far, what have we done? We have two cases, and we have two rulings of Shmuel. Shmuel taught two cases and taught two rulings, and at this point we successfully attached the respective rulings to the respective cases. And what made things very clear? What made things very clear was the Brisa that spoke about the sale of a servant to a diaspora location, from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. The Rav Onan, who had raised this issue of the two rulings and the two cases, which matches which, and Rav Onan said, "I don't know which matches which. What about the information we just showed in the Gemara that concludes the issue?" So we have a point here. Note the fact it's a long point. It lasts about six lines. The nun that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you see we're at the very top line of Daf Lamed right now. This is a singular point. Rav Onan, who was in a state of uncertainty, Brisa lo shmiele. First of all, he did not hear the Brisa that said that Rabo Sheni, the second master, the purchaser who was viewed as a master, writes a shtar shichur. He didn't hear that, so that we can't expect of Rav Onan to have come to a conclusion based on that source when he didn't hear that source. Umi de Shmuel, and from the fact that Shmuel said Eino Mechura, Umi de Shmuel, Mimai de Eino Mechura equals Umos Chozrin. From the use of the term Eino Mechura on the part of Shmuel, who says that would mean that the money goes back? In other words, one might have expected from Rav Onan to know that when Shmuel said in one case it's Eino Mechura, we saw Shmuel talk about, Shmuel used the expression Eino Mechura in the case of Mocher Sodeu Vishnas Hayovel Atzmo. Shmuel said Eino Mechura. From that, Rav Onan couldn't conclude that that means a non-sale. Dilma, Eino Mechura, maybe the expression Eino Mechura meant Umos equal Matona, that the supposed non-sale does not mean that the money goes back, but rather the non-sale might have meant that the money paid stays where it is as a gift. And if you'll ask, well, where did you ever hear of such a thing that something's called Eino Mechura and the money stays where it is? Well, I'll tell you, there's precedent for that. Similar to a case of someone who tries to marry his sister by offering her Kesef Kedusha. Didma Hamakade Shachoso, one who tries to marry his own sister by offering her money, Rav Omar Moos Chozrin. Well, the money, it's a joke. And the person can't marry his sister. There's no Tfisas Kedushin. And therefore, any money the brother paid to his sister, the money is repaid, restored, is returned. Ushmuel Omar. We've dashed underline Shmuel because this is the focus of our attention. We're trying to show how Rav Onan couldn't have concluded anything from the Loshon, because Shmuel says in this case, Mos Matona. The giving of the money to the sister as marriage, she keeps the money. So that the fact that Shmuel said regarding the sale of a field during the Yovel year, Eino Mechura, maybe it meant it's not a sale, but that doesn't mean that the money goes back. So Rav Onan couldn't have come to conclusions that the Moos Chozrin is the case of sale of field during Yovel year itself. Omer le Abaye le Rav Yosef, regarding the case of the sale of a servant from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, it was stated that the Eved goes free, and the guy that bought him loses his money. So Abaye asks Rav Yosef, "My chozis de kansinon leila lokeach? Why do we place the fine on the lokeach that he ends up losing? Niknase lamocher. We should impose our knas on the mocher, and that would mean that the guy who sold the slave would have to pay back the money that he got for the sale to the purchaser. He have to refund the money, and the mocher would send the eved into freedom. Omar Lay. So Rav Yosef answers, if you want to know why we're fining the purchaser, Lav Achbara Gonav Ela Churo Gonav. He uses an analogy talking about a mouse that steals the cheese and puts it in a hole. So he says it's not as if the Achbar, the initiator of the, here in this case, the seller, is the thief. It's rather where it ends up in the hole. The hole is the thief. And what this means to say is that if the seller didn't find any buyer onto whom to dump the slave, so to speak, in the sale, so there, nothing would have taken place. So the burden is on the lokeach. We ask, Ilav Achbaroth, not for the mouse who initiates the action, churum and ole, how would the hole, in this case, the purchaser, how would he get anything? So, shouldn't we be fining the seller, telling us that he has to refund the money to the purchaser? The more answers, Mistabra Hecho di Ise Leisura Kansinon. Logic would lead us to conclude that where the problem is, and the problem is the servant who has been sold to the diaspora, as opposed to being remaining Eretz Yisrael, when one is sold to outside Eretz Yisrael, so are there many fewer mitzvahs that he has that he can be mekayim. It's considered a demotion to be outside of Eretz Yisrael. So we say that most likely where the problem is, namely the slave is now by the purchaser, that's where Kansina, that's where make our fine, and the purchaser has to lose. Namely, the money he paid to the seller stays by the seller, and he has to free the slave, thereby losing that which he bought as well. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.